Be turning to John chapter 18. Take our first passage from there. John chapter 18. I want to think about that song that we just sang, Standing on the Promises of God. In order to be able to stand upright, you have to have something to stand on. And that thing that you're standing on has to be at least reasonably sturdy and sound. And so the implication of the song, Standing on the Promises of God, is that we can easily and stand on the promises because they are firm and they are sure and steadfast. If you can't stand on something firm, then you will quickly fall. You will most likely be injured, anyway, at any rate, it's not going to be pleasant. I'm thinking about this past week, we went to an amusement park, and they had this one particular attraction where you're walking through this tunnel, and the ground you're walking on is solid, but the tunnel is spinning around you. And it makes you feel like you should be falling, even though the ground isn't. But the only reason you don't fall is because they have the firm walkway for you to walk on. And you can convince yourself that it's okay if I keep moving and I keep putting one step in front of the other, I won't fall and I'll get through this and get to the end. And so we can stand on the promises of God because they are trustworthy. They are trustworthy because they are true. And we'll discuss that in just a moment. But let's look here in chapter 18 of the book of John in verse 38. Jesus is before Pilate. Actually, verse 37, Pilate asked him, "Art thou a king then?" And Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." And so Jesus' voice is true. He said, "Thy words are truth, and they are firm, they are steadfast, and we can stand on them." But Pilate didn't have the truth, and so he asks in verse 38, Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And so he questioned that you could even know truth. What is truth? How do you know what it is? How do you know when you have it? We won't answer all of those questions this morning, but it is something interesting to think about, because if there is no truth, then there is nothing to stand on. There's nothing that is real, and there is nothing that is trustworthy. So the concept of truth is something that is true, something that is in alignment with the facts, and something that cannot change. In order for something to be true, it has to always be true. Otherwise, it's not true. Otherwise, it's changeable and it is moldable. If you think there's ground in front of you, but you step on it and you fall through, then that ground wasn't true, right? If you think you have the promises of God, but they're not really, then you will fall and you will come to destruction in the end. And so we live in a world where postmodernism has taken hold, and people like Nietzsche have told us that there is no such thing as truth, and truth is unknowable if there is such a thing, and that each of us has our own truth. So your truth is different from my truth. And I can't know or understand your truth, and you can't know or understand my truth. And so we need to just leave each other alone and quit trying to share our truth with other people. There's no such thing as objective reality. So if I'm looking, if I'm looking at some sort of a measurement or a standard or something like that, then that's not even real. Some people go so far as to say that none of this is real and that it's all just an illusion. And there's an entire psychological framework around that in the field of psychology. And so we live in a world that's very confused, as Pilate was, about what is truth. It may seem like things are crazy and more out of control than they always were, but I'm sure in Jesus' time, if you were there while they were trying to crucify an innocent man, that things would look pretty crazy then too. And people were just as confused then as Pilate was. He was a man of authority. It was his job to judge what was true and what was not. And so you can see how that goes because of his attitude towards the truth here. He ends up having Jesus killed, allowing Jesus to be killed, because he doesn't have a moral compass, if you will. And the idea of truth comes up in a compass as well, right? We talk about true north versus magnetic north. There is a truth, a standard, something that exists, and it is something that we can measure other things by. And that's what God's word is today. A lot of people hold up things as truth that really aren't. So over the last few months, I've talked a lot about science and the concepts of science. And a lot of people will hold up science as truth. But science is not truth. It is not intended to be truth. And it cannot be confused with truth for rational thinking people. And the reason for that is because science fails the definition of truth. The definition of truth is something that is unchangeable, something that is always true. How much of science has changed just in the last few years, or 50 years, or 100 years? Things that scientists claim to be true are no longer considered to be the truth. But yet people still hold up science and claim that science is the cure for everything that ails society, right? How much has the scientific advice changed over the course of the SARS-CoV-2 pandemic, right? So the concept of science being unchangeable and always true, it doesn't make sense. Science can be changed with different observations and with different data, and that has happened over and over and over again. And if we get to the point where that's no longer the case, then we are no longer learning as people. But people hold up the concept of science as being true, and they will dismiss the word of God as being true. But yet, Jesus claimed to be the truth, and the Bible claims to be the truth. So no matter what is going on around us, no matter what is happening and what people do and they say and the things that they try to put their trust in, right? Only put your trust in things that are true, such as God, the Word of God, people who are faithful. Those are things that you can put your trust in. Science, not so much. Today it's a good idea to eat eggs, and tomorrow it won't be. Today it's not a good idea to eat eggs, and then tomorrow they'll find some reason why everyone should be eating them. We see the same thing with, again, as I mentioned, lots of the advice around this, around the pandemic. So what do we put our trust in? That's the question. Well, we're very fortunate to live in a time of where we actually have truth in spite of what others would say. Turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. Of course, he's talking about Christ here, right? The Word was with God. The Word was with was God, and the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. He's talking about Christ. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So even though people in the oldest times, in the times of the Old Testament, they had the law, they didn't have God's full truth yet. Truth came with Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. We live in a wonderful time where we don't have to look forward to the coming of the Christ. Whenever God's will be perfected and finally all of it will be given and made known. No, we live in that time where his will has been recorded and communicated to us through the Bible via the Holy Spirit, and we can know it. If you want to know the answer to any question in life, you can open God's Word and find it. Now, we look forward to the coming of Christ again to take us to be with him, but we can know exactly how that is going to be because we have the Word once and for all delivered to us. And so we have that foundation. We have the promises of Christ our King. We have that foundation that we can stand on, and we don't have to question or look forward or doubt. We know the full picture. The people in the Old Testament with the old law, they didn't have the full picture. Things weren't always clear for them. They didn't know all of the answers, and they didn't know everything that God was going to do in the end. And now we do. We know everything about them. We know everything that Christ taught, and we know how that things will be in the end whenever he comes again and the world is judged according to the works that we do. So we're very blessed to live in this time, and we ought to pay attention because humans do not have this innate knowledge of the truth. If we did, then we wouldn't need Christ to come and to give us the truth. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. There are plenty of passages, particularly in the Psalms, that talk about God being truth and that he is truth. He is all truth. And so that means that the things that he speaks must be true. Look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. So remember what we were talking about earlier, how that the world puts their trust in all sorts of physical things. I'm going to put my trust in this behavior. I'm going to put my trust in this thing. This thing is going to save me. This thing is going to keep me and keep me healthy. But the world puts their trust in these physical things, but we don't. We put our trust in the Spirit. He says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. Do this and you will be saved. Do this and you will have a happy life. Do that and you will be blessed. But all the while, they're just telling you about physical things, right? He says, which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, but for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Remember what I said earlier. Truth came through Christ, and it has been recorded via the Holy Spirit for us today in the Word, this Bible that we have and that we are reading out of right now. While others may put their trust in idols and in things, money, people, things, or behaviors, we can put our trust in God, and we can compare our spiritual life to the spiritual things that He has written down. And we can know that we will live on spiritually and eternally if we will take on the mind of Christ. And he goes on to talk a lot about this in the book of 1 Corinthians. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Notice what he says there. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Don't speak about what comes out of your mind or what comes out of fleshly wisdom. Speak what comes out of the oracles of God. Speak what is in the Word. Speak the truth. Man doesn't have an innate knowledge of the truth, but we do have the ability to sense what is truth. We know truth whenever we hear it. It makes sense to us, and the truth always has a ring. People may ignore it. They may decide that something other than the truth gratifies the flesh and makes them feel more comfortable or more happy in the flesh. But ultimately, those things will let us down, and that always happens, and we always realize it. God will always make known to us what the truth is through His Word. But the truth doesn't come out of our hearts and out of our wisdom. It comes out of God's wisdom. So whenever we speak, we ought to speak out of truth. Now, I want to make the point that truth is not always just words. Truth can be manifest in actions. Turn a few pages over to 2 John, verse 4. He says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. So you can walk in truth, or you can walk in untruth, dishonesty, lie, idolatry, however you want to put it. He says we should walk in truth. He mentions it again in 3 John, verse 3. He says, for I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. We keep the truth in us, and it'll be manifest in the things that we do, in the way that we live our lives, and the things that we put our trust in. Do we put our trust in things that are temporal, that are fleeting, that will be gone, that decay, and that moth will eat, and that will rust? No. We should put our trust in things that are eternal and never changing. So, what are we to do with this truth? Obviously, we're supposed to walk in it, but we are also to hold it up. We are to value it. We cannot walk in it. We cannot live in it. We cannot cannot own the truth if we don't value it. Otherwise, we'll just let it. We'll let it pass us by, and we won't take any. We won't take any additional thought for it. In Psalm 119, verse 27, he tells us to buy the truth and to sell it not. Take the truth, and make it as valuable to you as gold, fine gold. Get excited about the truth, and trust in the truth. And whenever you do that, you will live it out. Truth won't be just words to you that go in one ear and out the other. Truth can't be just words, because you can make up all kinds of words. Something's not true just because you say it. Something is true because it is immutable, and because it is everlasting. And that's what God's Word is for us today. It is truth. If we will value it enough to take it and make it a part of our lives. And notice what he says there, and the psalmist says in Psalm 119:127, he says, "It is more valuable to me than gold, more than fine gold." How many people can say that? How many people can say that the truth of God is more valuable to them than getting stuff or doing something in this earth? How many people can say that God's family is more valuable to them than stuff, their job, their things, their activities on this earth? We have to value God's truth and studying His Word and living out that Word more than anything else that we have in our possession or have to do here on this earth. And so this morning, the lesson is yours, but the point is that you can value truth, you can value God's Word over all of these physical things. They feel like needs. These physical things feel like stuff we need, we have to do, but they will fail you. They will fall out from underneath your feet, and you will tumble in the end. But God's Word is not that way. If you put God's Word above all of these things, then your path will be straight and flat, and you will be able to continue walking, and you will not fall, you will not stumble, and you will not be harmed. So whenever you're seeking out, or whenever you're thinking about, will I do this or will I do that? Will I prioritize this over that? Think about God's truth. Think about what the Bible says about that thing. Think about His truth and making that the foundation that you walk on, because it is true, it is trustworthy, and He is faithful who promised that one day He is coming back to take us home with Him if we will obey Him for a little while here on this earth. So with that, the lesson is yours, and if there's anything that we can do for you this morning, we pray that you would make it known while we stand and sing the song of invitation.